Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, November 19th, One Take Wednesday. We're in Isaiah chapter 60 today, verses 10 through 22. I hope that as I read this passage, you'll just be filled with hope about the land of promise, not just the rebuilding of the land of Israel, more so the rebuilding of the New Jerusalem, that day when we will go to a place that is better than Eden. In the first section, it talks about foreigners rebuilding the towns, and the kings of the world who have been oppressors will be led as captives in verses 10 through 12. Foreigners will come to rebuild your towns, and their kings will serve you. For though I have destroyed you in my anger, I will have mercy on you through my grace. Your gates will stay open day and night to receive the wealth of many lands. The kings of the world will be led as captives in a victory procession, for the nations that refuse to serve you will be destroyed. Verses 13 and 14 talk about all of the glorious things of this earth that will be ours. The forest of cypress and the beauty that will be in the temple. And then in 14, the descendants of your tormentors, so those who carted you out into exile, will be the ones who come and bow before you. It is a great reversal. The glory of Lebanon will be yours, the forest of cypress, fir, and pine, to beautify my sanctuary. My temple will be glorious. The descendants of your tormentors will come and bow before you. Those who despise you will kiss your feet. They will call you in the city of the Lord, and Zion of the Holy One of Israel. In verses 15 and 16, it's another indication that the kings and the nations will come and be like your nursemaids. And we will know that the Lord is our Redeemer and our Savior. Though you were once despised and hated, with no one traveling through you, I will make you beautiful forever, a joy to all generations. Powerful kings and mighty nations will satisfy your every need, as though you were a child nursing at the breast of a queen. You will know at last that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. I'll exchange your bronze for gold, your iron for silver, your wood for bronze, and your stones for iron. I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. I love verse 19. It talks about the fact that we won't need any more light, that the Lord will be our light. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night. For the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will not go down. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. And this passage ends with a beautiful picture of flourishing. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Let's move on over to our second passage in Acts 26, verses 1 through 11. In this passage, Paul talks about having hope. Now, in modern times, hope is kind of this fingers crossed, wishful thinking. But the Greek word for hope in the Bible is stronger. It's an assurance, a sure and steady hope, just like the anchor of hope that we have in Jesus found in Hebrews. It's a trust that is grounded in God's character. And Paul has this hope because he has met the risen Lord Jesus. Acts 26, verses 1 through 11. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert in all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, this is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by a leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities." Okay, we have to cut it off somewhere. So we'll pick up tomorrow in the reading where Paul will talk about his experience on the Damascus Road. I just love Acts. I know I've told you that a million times, but even where Luke recounts that Paul began gesturing with his hand and he started his defense, those little details that just continually warm my heart and remind me that Luke's message is grounded in historical accounts. All right, let's move on over to the Psalms, Psalm 129, verses 4 and 5. They remind us that the Lord is good. He has cut me free from the ropes of the ungodly. May all who hate Jerusalem be turned back in shameful defeat. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. We'll pray together and then I'll send you out with a blessing by Dr. Hull. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your work in our hearts. We praise you, Lord, because you are majestic. You are the light that is brighter than any sun or moon. In you, we have mercy and flourishing. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for rescuing us, for turning us around, for redeeming us, for restoring us. Continue to do your work of restoration in our hearts and in the lives of those around us. We lift to you even now specific occurrences, people, and situations. We recognize, God, that we are not the creator, but you are. We cannot do anything to change, but you, Lord, can. And we thank you. Help us to leave it with you, but also be listening for ways that we could be about feeding the hungry, clothing those in need, visiting the prisoner, and treating those around us as though they are you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And may Christ go before us to prepare a way of service. May Christ go behind us to gather up all of our efforts for his glory. May Christ go beside us as leader and guide, within us as comfort and stay, beneath us to uphold us with everlasting arms, and above us to reign as Lord Supreme. Amen.